Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Horius Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before beginning this Maseches Horius, it is highly recommended that one learns the psukim that are appropriate for a better and improved understanding of the Masechet. The psukim in the Torah are found in Vayikra, Perek Dalid. The Perek itself describes different types of korban chatois. It describes the korban chatos of the Kohen Moshiach, the korban chatos of the par helam dover shel tzibur, a situation which is the focus of the beginning of the Maseches, whereby Beis Din makes an erroneous halachic ruling, an erroneous psak din concerning an area of halacha that would, if done, b'mezid, would be chayev kores, and hence b'shogeg, it's chayev a korban chatos. If the Beis Din ruled erroneously, and the Beis Din acted upon that ruling, that warrants the bringing of a special korban, the par elam dover shel tzibur. Vayikra Dalet also discusses the chatos nosi, the nosi being the king, and a chatos yochid. All of these points are touched upon in this Maseches. Following the study of the Psukim, we highly recommend learning all of the Mishnayos of this Maseches before actually getting into the Gemara. And the reason for that is that the topics are intertwined, and there's a certain level of assumption of familiarity with all of the Mishnayos as the Gemara itself unfolds. This recommendation is true of many Masechtas. In fact, Chazal recommend learning all of Shas Mishnayos before learning Gemara. But in view of the fact that one may not have covered all of that ground, there are certain Masechtas that their understanding is facilitated extensively by having familiarity with the Mishnayos beforehand. Horius is one of those. Turning to the Mishnah, before we actually learn the Gemara inside, let's take advantage of our pre-marked Gemaras. On the margin of your Gemara, you will notice a Nosei / Mivneh. That's a topic heading and structural note that are combined into one note. You'll notice there's a diamond feature. The diamond is one of our series markings, as are all the geometric forms, as you've certainly discovered in the Learn the System option that you note on our site. The diamond here features Shnei Mikrim, two incidents, two examples, Shel Asiyas Chet, Histamech al Hiro Mutas Shel Beis Din Hagadol. Two examples of the violation of mitzvahs, relying upon the psak, the erroneous psak of the Beis Din Hagadol. So as you look in your Gemara, Gemara text, you'll notice there's a diamond at the first basic line of the Mishnah with a Roman numeral number 1, and we also have a few lines later a diamond with a Roman numeral number 2. You'll also notice in the as far as the markings are concerned, there's a double underline, which is another one of our series markings. The double underline is here to emphasize the words Potter and Chayev. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Horu Beis Din lavor al achas mikol mitzvos haburos b'Torah. Beis Din ruled a ruling concerning one of the mitzvos of the Torah, and we of course know that the ruling is an erroneous ruling, and v'holach hayochid v'oso shoygig al piem. And then someone went and followed their erroneous ruling. Without getting into accurate examples right now, the Gemara will spend time on defining the exact nature of the ruling, but for in general terms, though the example we use is not 100% accurate, if the Beis Din ruled, for example, that one is allowed to consume chelev being one of the forbidden parts of an animal, that if one does consume it with knowledge in a mazed form, he's chayev kores. So Beis Din ruled erroneously that chelev is mutter, and then an individual went and relying upon that psak din, relying upon that ruling, he ate the chelev. The Mishnah goes on to say, Bein she'osu v'oso imohen, whether the Beis Din also ate chelev and the private person, the individual, ate chelev, Bein she'osu v'oso achrehen, whether the Beis Din ate chelev and then the afterwards, as opposed to together with them, but afterwards the private person went ahead and ate it. Bein shelo osu v'oso, or even a case where the Beis Din themselves did not actually eat the chelev, did not actually follow their own ruling, but the private person did follow their ruling and ate chelev, poter. He is exempt from bringing a korban chatos, the standard korban for one who would violate this kind of offense, b'shogeg, in a state of lacking of knowledge. Here, he is potter from bringing that standard korban. Why? Because his actions were reliant upon the ruling of the court. That's quite different. It's quite different where someone acts upon a court ruling as opposed to a case where a person acts on his own. Even though both examples are in a state of shogeg, here he's relying upon the psak of the Beis Din, the ruling of the court, and that's what causes him to be potter, exempt from bringing the korban that on a personal basis he otherwise would have been chayef to bring. Horu Beis Din v'yoda echod mehem sheto oi talmid v'hu roi lahora. Beis Din issues an erroneous ruling, and one of the court members knows that there is a mistake, or a Talmid, literally a student, who himself is capable or has reached a level of learning that would categorize him as fit for ruling, fit for paskining, for offering rulings for paskining questions. The holach v'osal pihen, and now this individual that knew there was an error in the Sanhedrin's, in the high court's ruling, he went ahead and followed their ruling anyway, even though he knew that there was a mistake. Here, you will see a few lines later, we've double underlined the word chayev, he won't be able to enjoy an exemption based on his reliance upon their ruling. So the similar examples as we saw above are now featured. Bein she'osu v'oso imohen, whether they themselves ate and he ate together with them. Bein she'osu v'oso achrehen, or they ate the chelev, or they violated they followed their psak, which was in effect a mistake, and he followed them. He didn't perform the violation together with them, but rather after them. Bein shelo osu v'oso, or whether they didn't at all follow their ruling, and he went on his own and did it. Hare ze chayov. This individual, if we use the example of eating chelev, this individual will be chayev to bring a korban chatos, but they shelo tolov a Beis Din. He was not relying upon their psak. He knew that their psak was erroneous. Ze haklal. Hatoyle ba'atzmo chayov. The Hatoyle Beis Din potter. The principle is one who is tole biatzmo, acts according to one's own conclusions, he is chayef to bring a korban chatos. The hatoyle beis din poter means one who who behaves in reliance upon a court ruling that turns out to be erroneous, he is exempt from bringing the Korban Chatas. As we go on in the Gemara, we take a look at the topic heading that we have assigned to this section on the side. Notice a nosei, a topic heading, Chiyuv Par Helem Chal Rak B'Gmar Hoyro. The obligation of bringing the special korban, the par helem dover shel tzibur, which is that special korban chatos that's brought in the event that the court issues an erroneous ruling, this is brought, or the obligation to bring it comes about only once there is a complete court ruling. In other words, the court completed its ruling. They issued a complete, a final ruling. We will also notice in the Gemara the appearance of an aleph and beis. The beis is about halfway down the page. There's a beis in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where in the line you'll see Iko de Amri, a second version featured. So in our Mivneh note on the outside margin, you notice the structural note, Aleph and Beis. Those are Shnei Lishonois B'machlikis Shmuel V'Ravdimi Bame Nechshav Gemar Via Gemar Hoyro. We'll see two versions concerning the machlokes, the controversy between Shmuel and Ravdimi in defining what is considered the final ruling of a court in terms of language. What language does a court use to indicate that it has reached its final ruling? So, as we just mentioned, there are two lishonos of this machlokes, Shmuel and Ravdimi. If you look in your Gemara, you'll notice we've underlined Shmuel, and skipping a line, you'll notice Ravdimi, and the same names appear in the second version as well, the Iko D'Amri version, as we mentioned halfway down the page. In the Aleph version, you'll notice a series of triangles that appear in the Gemara as well. We, in our Mivneh note, we explain, you'll see there's a triangle featured, and in parentheses we've indicated Belishna Aleph. The triangles are part of these upright triangles are part of Lishna Aleph. Mekoros HaMesayim L'manda Omar. These will be sources that will support the opinion that Gemar Hoyro equals Mutorim Atem La'asos, where the court says in their verdict or in their ruling, in their psak din, they say that it is mutter, it is allowed for you to do, la'asos, that being a critical word in the Gemara. It is mutter for you to do. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, li'olam ein beis din chayovin, ad shiyomru lohem, mutorim atem. The beis din, the high court, will not be obligated to bring a par helam dover shel tzibor until they say this in their ruling. They say mutar matem, it is mutar for you, and that indicates that they have reached their gemar hora, the final or completion of their ruling. Only if you have a complete ruling, then if it turns out to be a mistake, then there would be a par helem obligation. Number two, Ravdimi Minahardo Omar, ad shiyomru lohem, until the court rules, mutarim atem la'asois, that it is mutar for you to do, to act. My taimo, why is that? Lefi sheloi nigmaro hoiro, namely, without the expression la'asos in their language, the feeling is that, according to Ravdimi, that they have not issued a final ruling, a complete and final ruling. Omar Abaye, we have the triangles now appearing, and you'll notice they enclose the expression Af Ananami Tanina, a series of three of these demonstrations of support to Ravdimi Nardo's explanation that a Gmar HaRo is only if there is, in addition to the Mutar HaMatem, there's a word expressing action. That is, mutar latem la'asos. It's mutar for you to do or to act upon. So the Gemara will be citing sources from varied topics in halacha. We won't get involved with the details of each one of these sources because each one involves an entire sugya on its own. And Mirtz Hashem, every one of us who is learning together with this shir is hoping to learn all of Shas. And in the course of exposing oneself to other masichtas, they will see these topics dealt with on their own. So we have a topic here. The first one touches upon the issue of the rebellious sage, the Zokein Mamre. He is an individual who is himself a judicial figure who argues with the high court in the Lishkas Gozes in the Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin of 71, and he goes back to his town and continues advancing his own opinion against the final ruling of the high court. So one does not become a Zokein Mamre unless he continues to rule, to issue legal rulings in a specific fashion, as we will touch on right now. So the source says, and you can see that it's a Tanaic source as it appears in a frame, Chozar Li'iro, the Zokein Mamre, after having differed with the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, he goes back to his town, Shana Velime, Kederech Shelime, if he continues to teach over his opinion, which is at odds with the opinion of the high court, putter. Merely teaching over one's legal position does not warrant the penalty that's meted out to a Zokein Mamre, which is actually a death penalty. However, hoire la'asos chayov, if he issues a legal ruling to act upon his personal point of view, as opposed to which is against the Sanhedrin Agadol, chayov, then he becomes a Zokein Mamre and he's chayav the penalty that is due to such an individual. What do we see here? That a final ruling appears or takes place only if you have the asiya aspect to it, la'asos, and that's why we've dashed underlined the expression la'asos. Om Rabbi Abba afana namitnina. Rabbi Abba has a source. This source concerns we have a little asterisk here forwarding you to a note we have in the margin, Beisha Shaholach Bailam Nisayam. This source concerns a case of a woman whose husband went overseas, Behayid Boy Shemes, and she testified that he died. The Achakach Bo Bailon, afterwards, there was testimony that he died, the husband came back. So, in the interim, when there was testimony that the husband had died, she thought she was free to be involved with another man. That she's no longer considered an Eishes Ish, because there was testimony that her husband had died. So that serves as background for this brief source quote here. Horu law Beisdin lehina say, if the Beisdin issued a ruling that she is entitled, after there was testimony that the husband was dead, that she was entitled to marry someone else, the holchavit hilkala, and she went off and practiced harlotry or znus. She went off and didn't marry another man, but she had intimacy with another man. Chayeves bekorban, she is chayev to bring a korban chatos. She's considered an offender. Lefi shelo hitiru lo elo lehinose. The Bezin, when they issued their ruling, they issued a ruling that she is entitled to get married. They didn't issue a ruling that she is free to engage in intimacy with whomever she likes. So this woman, after the court heard testimony that the husband was dead, she and the court offered a psak din. But notice we've dashed underlined the expression lehina say. this was, we could point out based on Rashi, of course, that the court issued their ruling based on the testimony of an Eid Echad, and they issued a ruling. What constitutes a ruling? An action. And that's why we've dashed, underlined the expression lehinosei. It doesn't say in this source that he tiru ha beisdin, that the beisdin simply allowed her, which would be an expression of freeing her to do whatever she likes. That's not the expression that was used. Rather, it was lehinosei, a ruling that involved an action, not just a declaration of muteres or hitiruha, but something more specific, a ruling with an action. And as a result of her not following their ruling, she was not toile bedas based in, she didn't do what they instructed or allowed her to do, therefore she's chayev a korban. And that's what the source says, she's chayev as a korban l'shelo hitiru lo elo lehinosei. But for our purposes, the main point of emphasis is the fact that a court ruling the finality of a court ruling is defined by their stating some type of action, not just a mere declaration that there is something mutter. Omar Ravino, af ananami tanina. We have a source that would bear out this idea, the idea expressed by Rav Dimi earlier. Horu beisdin lavor al achas mikol mitzvos hamuros b'Torah. This is a quote from our Mishnah. The key word here is la'avor. The basin ruled to an erroneous ruling, which was a ruling to violate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Glancing at Rashi, Horu Beisdin Lasos, it might be pointed out, at least this at this early point in the learning of this Maseches, that Rashi will appear most of the way on both columns of the Gemara. You'll find that the standard Tosfos column, which is generally the outside column of the standard Daf Gemara, is occupied in this Masechta by the Rashi commentary. And this is true throughout the Masechta, till the end. For those who are interested in additional commentaries, you have on the page the Tosfos appears below the Gemara text, and on the side you have the Tosfos HaRosh and the Rabbeinu Hananel. So, glancing at the Rashi on this particular point, he's in the outside margin, as we just mentioned. Horu beisdin la'avor, demashma horu beisdin la'asos. From this expression, it seems that Besdin issued a ruling to do. Once again, the action issue. The eino gemura harosam at shiyomru mutarim atem la'asos. Just like Rav Dimi said, that there isn't a gemar hora until a word of action is incorporated in their ruling. Continuing in the Gemara, su lo midi. Gemara feels that there is nothing more to say, and we have sufficient support or proof to back up the opinion of Rav Dimi, mi Nahar Dal. As we go on in the Gemara, we see Iko Damri, we'll find out a different version in our marking system. When we encounter different versions or alternatives to whatever, in this case we have an alternative version of the Gemara, we generally squiggle underline that transition expression. So here we have a different version, and it actually is the opposite of the above version. This is version Beis. Omar Shmuel, Ein Beis in Chayovin Ad Shiyomru Lahem Mutorim Atem La'asois. Shmuel here takes on the opinion that we saw above in the name of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi Minaharda Omar Afilu Mutorim Atem equals Nigmar HaHora. Notice, Rav Dimi Minaharda in this version takes on the opinion of Shmuel in the first version, that there is a Gemar Horah at the point of merely saying Mutarim Atem without the action word of La'asos or other equivalent action words. Now, in this version, we're going to be seeing an inverted triangle. This is featured on the in the margin under our Mivneh heading. You'll notice the inverted triangle, and we've indicated in parentheses in our note, Belishno Beis, and this is for the markings for the second version. There are kushios. These will be questions, may oisam makoros, from the same sources that we saw above, Alhamada Omar, questions on the opinion, the Gemar Hiro is Mutaram Atem. In other words, just like in the first version, Rav Dimi was the focus of the Gemara's bringing support, in the second version, Rav Dimi will also be the focus of attention, but in this case, he will be the focus of questioning, because the sources that we bring, the exact same sources as we saw above, indicate that a Gemar Horah is only if there is an action word that accompanies it. And that's as opposed to this version of Rav Dimi that says by the mere statement of Mutarim Atem alone, you have a completion of a court ruling. Omar Abaye, the Ha Lo Tanan Hachi, we have a source unlike the most recent Rav Dimi presentation. What does it say? This, once again, is the Zokei Mamre source. Chazar Liro V'shona Olime Kederach Shalime Potter. If he goes back to town and simply teaches over his position like he was, like he taught originally, he is still exempt. However, Hoira La Sois Chayav, if he issues a ruling to act upon his words, then he becomes guilty of being a Zokein Mamre. So we see that a final ruling is only where you have an action word introduced as well. Omar Rabbi Abba, V'hol lo Tanan Hochi, again, a question on Rav Dimi. We have a source unlike his position, Horu Law based in Linosei. Bezdin ruled on the testimony of a Neid Echad, of a single witness, that her husband died, and they issued a ruling that she can get married. That's an action, lehinosei, a ruling that she is allowed to marry, not merely that she is allowed, the holchavil kilkala, and she went ahead and practiced immorality, and the husband eventually, and the husband showed up, chayeves bekorban, shelo hitiru lo elo lehinosei. She is not considered reliant upon the court in this particular scenario, because she didn't marry someone else, she simply went ahead and behaved immodestly with someone else, in intimacy with someone else. Therefore, she brings her own personal korban chatos when her husband shows up, showing that she's in effect still a married woman. And as far as her inability to enjoy exemption, it's because she acted on her own, not relying on the court ruling. Omar Ravina, v'ho lo tanan hochi, horu based in la'avor al achas mikol mitzvos homurus b'torah. Our own Mishnah has an expression that indicates that a completion of a ruling is only if there's an expression of action that's part of their psak din. Su lo midi. There's nothing more to say on this. In effect, this constituting a rejection of the Rav Dimi in Loshon Beis, in the second Loshon. In other words, according to both Loshonos, there is agreement, according to both versions of Gemara, there is agreement that a Psak Din of the Beis Din is only if there is a Hayro La'asois. V'holach ha'yochid v'osa shoigeg al pihem. As we look ahead in the Gemara, one will notice that there is an extensive marking that takes place. This naturally draws our attention to want to have a little bit of an introduction to the structure. So first of all, let us look at our topic heading, the Nosei, Horu Bezdin Shechelev Mutter. A court ruled that the forbidden part of the animal is allowed to be eaten, and someone went ahead and sat down to a meal. V'nischalef lo chelev b'shuman. There was a person who had intended to have as part of his meal shuman. Shuman is allowed fats.
of an animal, a kosher section of the animal. What happened, though, is that some switch around took place, and he ended up eating chalev. Now, it's pretty clear that this person's consumption of the chalev was not precipitated by the court ruling. He intended to eat something else anyway. It just so happens that which he ate had received an erroneous sanctioning of the court through their legal ruling that chalev is mutter. So we're going to want to know how to look at such a case. As far as the structure of the Gemara is concerned, we have under our Mivneh heading, you'll notice a bow tie form, and this is accompanied by a Roman numeral 1 and 2. The Roman numerals 1 and 2 are featured under our Mivneh heading as well. We've written in on our comment, Beis Gishois L'Inyan Hanal. Two approaches concerning the topic we just mentioned, the topic of Beis Din issuing a ruling concerning Chalev, that Chalev is Mutter. Someone who on his own was planning to have a meal of something Mutter, and it got switched around, and he ended up eating that which Beis Din actually ruled upon erroneously. The Rava Pshita. We'll see in the course of the Gemara that Rava has a specific opinion on this topic, an opinion of certainty, and that's what we mean Pshita. According to Rava, it's obvious to him what the ruling is. In truth, when we look in the Gemara, we will see two opposite versions of Rava, but either way, Rava has a specific position on the topic. This is as opposed to Rami Bar Chama, who will be presented here as asking this as a question. What should the halacha be concerning this case of switch around? So once again, as far as the bow ties are concerned, they present an overall structural picture of Rava on the one hand and Rami Bar Chama on the other hand. As far as Rav is concerned, it's a statement. That's why you see the word Omar in a bow tie. And when you skim down to Rami Bar Chama, you'll notice Deboi Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama raises the issue as a question. We will notice also at the opening of our Gemara another geometric form, a house form. And as you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that the house form flips around. And in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll also notice house forms denoted as Aleph and Beis. This is explained as well on the side, where you see house forms in opposite directions. Shnei l'shoynes hafuchos shel Rava b'havonas ha-mishnah. We'll see two opposite versions of Rava's understanding of the Mishnah. Of course, these two opposite versions of understanding will also result in two opposite conclusions. The final marking featured will be discussed later. Let us now turn to the Gemara. The Mishnah had mentioned v'halacha yochid v'osa shoygeg al pihem. After the court issued their ruling, the Mishnah said, then an individual went ahead and did whatever he did, shogeg, based on their ruling. So the Gemara asks a textual question: V'nisni v'osa al pihem. Let the Mishnah simply say that the individual went ahead and followed their ruling. Shogeg lomali. What is gained by adding the word shogeg in the Mishnah? You can see this word appears on the second line of the Mishnah itself. Shogeg being an expression referring to inadvertent or mistakenly. Omar Rava. Shogeg equals lasuye. The case of shogeg comes to include another case. namely, not simply a case of someone hearing the court, the court's erroneous ruling and then acting upon it, but it comes to add another case. The case as follows: Horu bezdin shechelev muter. A court, the high court, ruled that chelev is allowed. V'nischalef loy chelev b'shuman v'ochlo. And we have a person that intended to eat shuman, intended to eat something of a kosher nature, and his plate got switched around, and he ended up eating chelev, the very topic that the court happened to rule upon. But once again, as we emphasized in our introduction to this section, this person who ended up eating chelev was not doing so as a result of the court ruling. It was as a result of the switch around. Nevertheless, the Mishnah, by using the word shogeg, is coming to include this example as well as being exempt, as potter, meaning he's potter from bringing a personal korban chatos. The expression al pihem, that was in the Mishnah, equals al pihem mamish. That's referring to the standard case of someone who acted on the court's ruling. If the court ruled that chelev was mutter, the fellow heard that ruling and went out and got himself some chelev. The ikar di amri. Now we have another version. Omar Rova. Rava, in this version, doesn't see the Mishnah as being a reference to two cases, as we just saw in the first version, where we have, in our first version of Rava, we have a little aleph and beis that we wrote above the line, where shogeg represented one case and al pihem represented another case. According to this version, this Ika D'Amri version, shogeg al pihem hu depoter. In other words, there's only one case that the Mishnah refers to, namely a person who went ahead and acted on the based on the court's ruling. Aval, the other case, namely nischalef lo chelev b'shuman v'ochlo, that case, notice we've used singular quotation marks around these few words to indicate one should read them together. We're referring to it as a case. The case of nischalef lo chelev b'shuman v'ochlo, that case is chayov. He would not be potter from a personal korban, rather he will be obligated to bring his personal korban chatos. And that is because he was not acting upon the ruling of the Beis Din. Milsa de pshita le Rava, something that is obvious to Rava. In other words, Rava took a stand on this topic of nischalef lo chelev b'shuman. We have two versions of Rava, but in whichever one you look at, Rava reaches a definitive conclusion. Well, that topic is kamibayale l'rami barchama, represents a question in the mind of Rami Barchama. The boy Rami Barchama asked, "Horu beistin shechelev muter v'nischalef lo v'shuman v'ochlo." A situation where the court ruled that chelev is muter, and a person who, on his own, intended to eat something else, intended to eat kosher fats, shuman, and his plate got switched around, and he ended up eating that which the court allowed. Mahu. So what is the ruling with regard to this individual? As we go on, we notice a new geometric form. We have a diamond with colored in tips. The marking is featured on the side under that Mivneh heading. You'll notice the two diamonds with the colored in tips at different points. This represents Shnei Lushoinus Hafuchois Shel Teguvas Rava L'She'evas Rami Barchama. In this version of things, Rava is a responder, is answering Rami Barchama's question. It just so happens that in the Gemara itself we'll see two versions as to how Rava answers the question. Version Aleph, and you'll see a few lines later at the end of the line, a squiggle underlined Ikal Diamri, representing the beginning of the second version, and you also see the diamond with the colored in bottom. So Rami Bar Chama raised the question, and now the answer. Omar Rava Tashma Holach Yochid V'Osa Shogeg Al Pihem. Shogeg Al Pihem Lomali. The seemingly extra expression that the Mishnah uses. What is this doing? What do we gain by the expression of Shogeg Al Pihem? So, Lav Lasui, is it not here to include the case of Horu Bezdin, Shechelev Mutter, Venishalif Lo Chelev Vishuman Viachlo, that it equals Potter, that the result is that this case as well is exempt, that the person who was the victim of the switch around is exempt from bringing a personal korban? The Gemara at this point rejects the conclusion Rava tried to draw and says, Dilma, Shogeg al piyam hu de potter. Maybe one doesn't read this as an extra expression, but rather shogeg al piyam is representing a simple case of the person unwittingly followed the erroneous psak of the bezin, and only that case is potter. Hu de potter avol nischalit lo chayev b'shuman viachlo. But the case of the switch around equals chayev. He would actually be obligated. Ika di amri omar rova toshma. Holach yochid v'osa shogeg al pihem. My love, how should one understand the Mishnah? Shogeg al pihem hu de potter. The only case of exemption would be someone who acted directly as a result of the ruling of the court. Avol, but our case of the switch around case, nischalif lo chelev v'shuman v'achlo, who is not acting directly as a result of the court ruling, would be equals chayev. He would be obligated to bring his personal korban chatas. The Gemara here rejects that conclusion, and once again you can see with the markings how we've dashed, underlined the Dilma word to help emphasize the similarity of structure, making it easy to find the previous appearance of the Dilma here again as a rejection. And we're saying, as we've learned earlier, Oy Shoigeg, Oy Alpihem. It could be that the Mishnah is referring to two cases, and the extra case, namely the Shogeg case, would include the Nischalif lo chelev b'shuman v'achlo situation, and in fact he would be exempt. The Gemara goes on and points out b'plukta, that the topic we've been discussing till now of Nischalif lo chelev b'shuman, the switch around case, is the subject of a machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, who will appear shortly. Hoiru Beisin Shechelev Mutter V'Nischalif Lo Chelev B'Shuman V'Ochlo. The court ruled that Chelev is allowed, and it got someone was the victim of a switch around between the Shuman he wanted to eat and ended up eating Chelev. Rav Omar Potter, Rav rules that he is exempt from bringing a personal Korban Chatos. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayov. And Rabbi Yochanan says that he is obligated to bring a personal korban chatos because he was not relying on the court ruling, and therefore he has to bring his personal korban. Meisvei, we raise an objection to Shitas Rabbi Yochanan from the following Tanaic source. The source itself opens up with a pasuk that comes from a section of the Torah dealing with a Korban Chatos. The Pasuk says, Me'am Horetz Ba'asoysa Prat L'mumar. The Korban Chatos is accepted from someone who was an inadvertent sinner, as opposed to a Mumar, a person who was a consciously sinning individual. A person who is a consciously sinning individual in general, if he happened to make a mistake along the way, since he is in general a mumar, we will not accept his korban, even though this particular circumstance was one of, even though he might have experienced an example or a situation of sin that he did not intend to do. Rabbi Shimon ben Yosi Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Harehu Omer, Ashelo Teoseno Bishgoga V'Oshem O Hoda. The interpretation of this pasuk for the Tanaic sources purposes is as follows: Hashav midyaso mevi korban ashigigaso. Someone who, upon finding out that what he did was a sin,
would not do it. Person did something inadvertently, but if he were informed that what he did was incorrect, he would back out. He would not do it. That kind of person brings a korban chatos. We see from his willingness to not do it again that he's a fine individual, and therefore we can accept his sacrifice. However, lo shav miyadiyaso, eino mevi korban al shigigaso. Someone who would not back out from his practice, so even though he may have done something mistakenly, so we will not accept from him a korban. Ve'im isa, if this be the case, in other words, if we're looking at the psak of Beis Din that ruled that chaylev is mutter, and a person inadvertently ate chaylev, he was planning to eat shuman but then ate chaylev, when he is informed that he ate chaylev, would he be shav midyasa? Would he back out of the chaylev? After all, the court ruled that chaylev is mutter. So he wouldn't back out of eating. He would continue eating the chaylev. So, ha lo shav midyasa hu. This example of the hoira basin shechaylev mutter v'nishchal for chaylev b'shuman, the ochlo, this guy is not a shav midyaso. He's not someone who would back out from his practice. Therefore, he would not be qualified to bring a korban chatos. His korban chatos would not be accepted. So why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, does he say that he's chayev in the case of nischalef lo chaylev b'shuman to bring a korban chatos? The bringing of the korban chatos depends on this element of shav miyadiyaso. A person, upon discovering what he did, would back out. But in this case, since the court ruled that chaylev is mutter, when he is informed that he ate chaylev, he wouldn't back out. He would continue eating the chaylev. So he doesn't conform to the requirement of being a shav miyadiyaso. Omar Rav Papa. Kosover Rabbi Yochanan, who said that in the case of Nischalef lo chaylev b'shuman, he brings a korban chatos, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Kevon dechemis yoda lehu lebeidino hadri behu, vehu nami hodar bei, shav midioso karinon bei vechayov. Since when it would become known to the court that they made a mistake, and the court would retract their ruling, he too, the one who ate the chaylev, would also retract and not continue eating the chaylev. Therefore, in the final picture, he is a shav midyaso, and therefore, he is chayev to bring a korban chatos, a personal korban chatos. Omar Rova, Moide Rav, She'eno Mashlim L'roiv Tzibor. Rav, who said that the Nischalef lo chaylev b'shuman case is potter, is exempt from bringing a personal korban chatos, nevertheless, he does not represent the rest of the population or the community that directly followed the ruling of the court. This issue of Rov Tzibor, if we look in the Rashi, you'll find in the Rashi commentary, Rashi says, She'eno mashlim l'rov tzibor, v'ein mevien par, deboinon shiukulon mamish shoygigin b'shkoga achas al pi Beis Din. In order for a par helem dover shel tzibor to be brought, you would require the majority of the tzibor to follow the ruling of the Beis Din. This, of course, what we're saying right now is really a machlokes tanoim. But according to Shitas Chachomim, par helem dover shel tzibor is not brought unless you have the majority of the tzibor following the psak, the ruling of the court. Let us say you have a situation where you have exactly 50% of the tzibor that followed the court ruling. And then you have this individual who ate chelev not based on the court ruling, but because of the switch around. True, he is exempt from bringing a personal korban chatos, but he does not link up with the 50% that followed the court ruling in order to create a rove, a majority of those who followed the court ruling, and hence generating the need for a par helam dover shel tzibor. The Gemara goes on, my taima, why is it? Why is it that he doesn't join up with the rest of those people that followed the court ruling in eating the chelev? Omar kro bishgaga. The pasuk that deals with the topic of par helam uses the word bishgaga, and this is interpreted as achyu kulon bishgaga achas, until they're all in the same boat, so to speak, until they are all eating chelev based on a common motivation. If the individual ate the chelev because of a switch around, and the rest of the folks, the rest of the other half of the population that did eat chelev, ate it based on the court ruling, they are not bishgoga achas. Hence, the individual doesn't join up with them to comprise a majority of the tzibor. Bein she'osu v'osa imohen. Lomo lei lemisna kol hani. When looking at the Mishnah, we notice under the first section of the Mishnah, we have a first diamond. On the end of the second line of the Mishnah, there was a series of examples of Bein she'osu v'osa imen, Bein she'osu v'osa achrein. What are all those examples needed for? That's the Gemara's question of Loma lei lemisna kol hani. Bishlomo resha lo zu af zu kotani. As far as the structure of the resha, the opening section of the Mishnah, this is what's called the lo zu af zu structure. And if we look at Rashi, he offers a clear explanation of this. Rashi says, Bishlomo resha lo zu af zu kotani, dehochi mashma, lo mibaya zu the osa imohem the havi vada itolu basin. I don't have to tell you this is the most obvious case. The Mishnah opens up with the simplest or most obvious case of what is being illustrated, namely where the Bezdin and the citizen ate the chelev together. It's clear there that he is acting together with the court based on their ruling. Elo af zu nami dosach reim havi toilu bebezin upoter. But even the case of where he doesn't actually eat together with them, but he eats afterwards. They ate the chelev, and then afterwards he ate the chelev. He's also called toilu bebezin, also one who is acting upon the ruling of the bezin. Velo zu bilva diosach reim upoter. Not only that case is poter, but even the following case, which is even less obvious. Elo af zu de lo osu bezin, where bezin may have issued a ruling, but they themselves didn't do it. The osa, but he did. He did act on their ruling. Afilu hachi toilu bebezin havi upoter. Even that case is called a toilu bebezin, and he's exempt. So the structure of the resha is clear. It's called lo zu af zu. Not only the obvious, but even, and it goes in a progression to reveal cases that are not as obvious. Elo seifa de lechiyuva. However, the second section of the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah, which featured liability or obligation on the part of the individual to bring a korban, ipcha mi boyale, the opposite should have been taught. In other words, if it's a lo zu af zu structure, and you're talking about someone who is obligated, so it would stand to reason that the examples should have been taught in an opposite direction, namely, not only someone who acts purely on his own, where is obligated to bring the
Korban Chatas. And of course, we're talking about someone who knew that the Beis Din issued an erroneous psak. So not only someone who knows that the Beis Din issued an erroneous psak and went on his totally on his own, namely Beis Din didn't even participate in the eating. So that is the most obvious case of guilt, of need to bring personal korban, but even a case where the Beis Din did eat as well and he ate afterwards, he would have to bring a personal korban chatas by virtue of the fact that he knew they erred. And even the case of where the Beis Din and he ate together. So that would have been the more appropriate structure. The Gemara answers that as far as the Seifa is concerned, it takes on a different description of structure, namely Zu v'ein tzorach lomar zu kotoni, whereby the Mishnah tells me the least obvious case first. This is what is chayav, and I don't have to tell you about the next case. So the Mishnah is in effect telling me about the first example was where in the second section where someone knew the court was issuing an erroneous psak, and he ate the chaylev knowing that they were wrong, and he ate it together with the court. Well, that's chayav, and if that's chayav, I don't have to tell you about the next case where he didn't eat exactly with them. They ate and he ate afterwards, where he's more on his own. That's even more obviously chayav. And the last case is the most obvious case where they didn't even eat at all and he ate on his own, knowing, of course, that it's forbidden. That's called the Zu V'ein Tzorach Lomar Zu structure. So in our Mishnah, the Reisha represents one type of Tanaic structure, namely Zu V'af Zu, and the Seifa represents another type of Tanaic structure, which is the Zu V'ein Tzorach Lomar Zu structure. But as we go on in the Gemara, we notice we have a topic heading for this new section. On the in the outside margin, you see the Nosei. Loma li beis dugmos ba Mishnah. What do I need? Two examples in the Mishnah. One, v'yoda echad meam shito, where one of the members of the court knew they were making a mistake. And the second example, talmid v'roi lahayra. Turning to the Gemara. V'yoda echad meam shito oi talmid v'roi lahayra. Notice we've indicated a one and two. Tarti Lomali, what do I need these two examples for? Omar Rova, Itzdrich. I need these two examples. Safadai Techamina, Hani Mili, I would have thought that when is the knowing person, when we say knowing meaning the individual that knows that the court ruling is erroneous, and hence he is chayev to bring his personal korban, that is Gomir v'sovir, that if a person has these two intellectual qualities, that gomir means he has learned the topic, and sovir means he's capable of understanding things on his own. Rashi says, meivin dover mitoch dover. This is a person who, upon receiving or absorbing information, can draw conclusions on his own from that information. Avol, gomir v'lo sovir, lo. But someone who simply absorbed information but is not capable of processing the information, he would not be chayav lifnei. So maybe someone like that, without the Mishnah using an additional example, I would have thought that if he's a gomer v'lo sofer, he would not be obligated. Omar le Abaye lehoira Gomir v'sovir mashma. The Mishnah uses the expression of Talmid v'roi l'hoira. It seems from the Mishnah that someone who is gomir v'lo sovir would not be obligated to bring the korban. because when referring to the second case, the additional person would have to be someone who is gomer and sovir. Omar Lay, so Rava answers, Ano hochi ko amina. Rava, clarifies his stance. E mehahi, had I just had the expression in the mission of Yoda Echod Mehen, Havi Amino, Hani Mili, Gomir Virsovir. If I would have had just that example, I would have thought that the only time someone would be Chayav to bring a Korban Chatas on his own after the court issued an erroneous ruling is someone who knows their ruling is in error, and they happen to be also Gomir V'Sovir. They have those two qualities. Avo Gomir V'lo Sovir Lo. But had the Mishnah taught only one example, I would have not known the case of Gomir V'lo Sovir, that he too is Chayav. Therefore, Tono Roy Lahora, the Mishnah uses almost a double expression, meaning a seemingly redundant case, Roy Lahora, which in and of itself, in fact, does mean Gomir V'Sovir, but that was already included in the expression of Yoda Echod Mehen. One of the judges themselves knew that there's a mistake. Now, he's obviously Gomir V'Sovir. So who's this Talmud Roy Lahora? If he's also Gomir V'Sovir, then there's a redundancy. Therefore, we say, Mi Mishnah Yaseira, from the seemingly extra case or seemingly unnecessary example, we conclude, Afilu Gomir V'lo Sovir, Sovir V'lo Gomir. Even people like this that have not achieved full intellectual maturity, namely you have someone who's learned but's not sovir, someone who has absorbed facts but doesn't have the ability to process them, or someone who shows intellectual prowess, ability to process information but hasn't learned basic information yet, both of these people as well, if they know that the court issued an erroneous psak and they went ahead and ate the chaylev anyway, they would be chayev to bring their personal korban. Roy lahoyra v'chule kegon man, who is an example of a Talmud that's roy lahoyra, a Talmud, a student who has reached a level of learning advancement that he's fit to issue legal rulings. Omar Rava kegoin Shimon ben Azai v'Shimon ben Zoima. These are two famous rabbinic figures that are described as those that used to sit in the presence of the sages. They themselves were intellectual, were Torah giants. Omale Abaye, ki hai gavno mezid hu. If you have people that know the court made a mistake and they're very mature in their Torah knowledge, and they go ahead and eat that which they know one should not eat, why does the Mishnah say that they are chayav a korban? They're mezid. They're doing a sin, they're violating a mitzvah in a premeditated, in a conscious fashion. And of course it goes without saying that a korban chatos is brought only in the event that someone violates a mitzvah in an inadvertent fashion, in a shogeg fashion. But being that they are scholars and they know that the court ruling is a mistake, they shouldn't be included in the realm of Chayev a Korban. Rava now responds to Abaye. This is a long response, and we've illustrated this by a length marker. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a tough that's encircled, representing a teretz with a vertical dashed line. All of the lines of Gemara that are parallel to this long vertical dashed line constitute the answer. So Rava says, Uletameich, according to your approach to things, ha desanya, we have the following Tanaic source that opens up with a pasuk featuring the korban chatos, and it says, ba'asoiso achas, yochid ha'oise mipiatzmo chayov, an individual who acts on his own and ends up violating a particular mitzvah, he is obligated to bring a korban chatos. However, someone who acted not on his own, but rather as a result of a court ruling, of the high court's ruling, that's Bahiras Basin Potter, he's exempt. Ketzat, example, Horu Bezdin Shechelev Mutter, Venoida Le'echod Mehem Shetou, if Bezdin ruled that Chelev is allowed, and one of them knew that this is a mistake, or a student who himself has achieved learning level where he's capable of issuing court rulings, could go in Shimon ben Azai, Yocho Yehei Potter, would someone like that also be exempt? If he knows about the mistake and anyway goes ahead and eats the chelev, Talmud Lomar, Ba'asoiso Achas, Yochid Ha'oise Alpi Atzmo Chayov, Behoiroaz Beisdin Potter. The example of Shimon ben Azai would fall under the category of a Yochid Ha'oise Alpi Atzmo, and this source says he's chayef to bring a korban chatos. He does not enjoy the exemption of a korban chatos as one who is merely following the psak of Beis Din. Here he knows that the Beis Din is in error, and yet it says here in this source that he's chayef to bring a korban chatos. Elohechi mishkachas law. How could that possibly be? I mean, after all, he's so learned. Wouldn't you call him mazid? Why should he be chayev a korban chatos? So Rava is posing this source as a challenge to Abaye. Why does this Tanaic source, who also, just like Rava himself, featured Shimon ben Azai, this Tanaic source features Shimon ben Azai and nevertheless says that he does bring a korban chatos? So how could that be? So it's rather kagon de yoda de osir. True, he knew that it's osir to eat the chelev, the kotoi b'mitzvah l'shmoa divrei chachomim. But the mistake is, and this is what takes it out of the realm of mazid, of premeditated violation, he made a mistake concerning to what extent is there a mitzvah to listen to the words of the sages, to listen to the words of the elders. Shimon ben Azai, as is illustrated here, or any Talmud Haroi Lo Hiro, as is featured in our Sukkah, and we say that a person like that, who knows the court made a mistake and went ahead anyway and ate the chelev, what element of shogig is there? He thought that one has to listen to the chachamim even when he knows that they are in error. Well, the Didinami, says Rava, according to me as well. When I explained then our Mishnah of Talmud Haroi Lahoira is someone like Shimon ben Azai, someone like that also would have made this mistake, the Ta'u b'mitzvah l'shmo, divrei chachamim, they made a mistake in how far one has to go with regard to listening to the chachamim, and with regard to that, he's still categorized as a shogeg, and therefore he does bring a korban chatos. Zeh haklal, hatoyle b'atzmo, chayov, toyle b'beizdin, potter. The Mishnah uses the expression of zeh haklal. So when you see that, it's coming to include other things that are not stated explicitly in the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, La'asuye mai, the case of toile ba'atzmo, that the Mishnah said is chayav, is coming to include what? La'asuye mevayit b'hoira. Rashi explains Lasuya Mevayit Bahoira, Shim Hoya Rogi Liois Mevayit Bahoira. Mevayit Bahoira means someone literally who kicks court rulings. Someone who has no respect for court rulings, who would actually violate court rulings. The achar kach horu shechelev mutter, and the court ruled that chelev is allowed. The holach zeh mevayet, the asal pim, the ochal chelev, and this person who is called a mevayet went ahead and ate chelev based on their ruling. Mind you, this is a person that, generally speaking, does not respect court rulings, but he went and, based on their ruling, ate chelev. De chayov. It doesn't help that in this case that he followed the court ruling, because he is a mavayit b'hira, and therefore he has to bring his own personal korban. Since in general he disrespects their rulings, hashto nami mavayit, he too now is considered a mavayit. The ukshu oichel chelev, and when he is eating the chelev, mipi atzmahu oisa, he's really doing it on his own. Ve'ino toilu beizdin, he's not really eating it because of their ruling. Hilko chayav korban, therefore he is obligated to bring a korban. Continuing, Toila Bebezdin, the case of the Mishnah had mentioned the Zeha Klal, and part of the principle or Klal that the Mishnah mentioned was that a Toila Bebezdin is potter, is exempt. So what case is being included here? La Suye Horu Bezdin, the Yadu Shetou, the Chazru Bohen. This is a case where the Beis Din issued an erroneous ruling. They themselves discovered that they were in error and retracted. And a private person who didn't hear about their retraction went ahead and ate the chelev based on their original ruling. So the Mishnah is telling us that that case as well, even though the court in the interim retracted, he is exempt. The Gemara asks, Ha behedya katani law, that's featured in a Mishnah on Daf Gimel Amid Beis under the heading of Shitas Reb Shimon. So if that's already mentioned in a subsequent Mishnah, it's unlikely that our Mishnah is referring to that case. So the Gemara says it is. Tani, the Mishnah teaches it over here, v'hodar meforesh, and later it expounds on it. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice some new geometric forms, and this draws our attention to the comments on the side. So, first of all, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we've indicated that this goes till Gimel Amud Aleph. The topic is Yochid Sha'osa Bahiras based in an individual as opposed to majority of the public, a private, an individual, follows the psak, the erroneous psak of the Beis Din. Machloikis Tanoim. We'll find that this issue, is he exempt from a personal korban by virtue of the fact that he was reliant upon the court ruling or not, or is he not exempt? As far as the structure is concerned, you'll notice we have a mivneh, a structural note heading. A triangle is featured, and we also notice a Roman numeral 1 and 2. The number 2 will be seen only on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. This represents a machlokis, Rav Yehuda of Rav Nachman, b'divrei Shmuel, a controversy between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman within Shmuel, b'nogea l'sheila, mishnosenu depoter yochid shos baraz based in keman, with regard to the question of authorship of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that the private person, the individual who followed the erroneous psak of Beis Din, is exempt. So who holds that opinion? So we have another marking. We've encircled the names in Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Meir. These are Tanoim. Not to confuse when looking at Rabbi Yehuda, not to confuse the Amora Rav Yehuda, who in this case we have in a triangle, and the line afterwards in our Gemara we have encircled the Tano, Rabbi Yehuda. So we will see that as far as authorship of our Mishnah is concerned, according to the first approach, the Roman numeral number 1 approach, Shmuel, as according to Rav Yehuda's version, will say that our Mishnah is based on the Tano Rebbe Yehuda. On Daf Gimel, there, we will notice Rav Nachman makes a presentation of Shmuel, concluding that our Mishnah is authored by Rebbe Meir, as opposed to this version that says Rav Yehuda.
Later in the Gemara, we'll notice a diamond marking. This is also explained, my Rebbe Yehuda, my Rabbanan. The Gemara at that point will be asking for makoros l'shitos atanoim benoisei hanal, sources for the respective tanoim concerning this topic, the topic of the individual who followed an erroneous court ruling. So let's turn to the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Yehuda, the Amora Rebbe Yehuda, Omar Shmuel quotes Shmuel as saying, "Zu divrei Rebbe Yehuda." Our Mishnah that allows for a ptur, an exemption of a yochid that follows an erroneous court ruling, this is in accordance with the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. Avo chachomim omrim, yochid shosu b'iraz based in chayov. The chachomim disagree with Rebbe Yehuda and say that if it's a private person, namely it's not the majority of the tzibor, then he will, even though he followed the court ruling, he will be obligated to bring a personal korban chatas. The Gemara asks, my Rebbe Yehuda, the Sanya. We have a number one in the between the lines. This will be of value for the Gemara later on. So what is the source that in which you see Rebbe Yehuda holding that a private person who follows a court ruling, an erroneous court ruling, is exempt? The Sanya, the Pasuk says, Im nefesh achas techta b'shgaga ba'asoysa. Hare'elu gimel mi'utim. In this Pasuk there are three mi'utim. Mi'utim are expressions that are of a limiting nature. Three limitations. Rashi gives the details behind this source. In fact, Rashi enumerates what the three limitations are. Examples of situations where people will not be chayav a korban chatos. And one of them is ha'oisa mipi atzmo chayav v'raz beis in poter. Namely, that one who acts on his own and ends up violating a mitzvah. For example, one who on his own ate chelev, he will be chayav a korban chatos. However, b'hiruas beis din, if he ate the chelev based on the ruling of a beis din, poter. So we see here the a nefesh achas, it's a singular person who, if he followed a court ruling, followed an erroneous court ruling, he will be exempt from bringing a personal korban chatos. My Rabbonon, the Sanya. So here we have a Tanaic source that actually has an earlier section that you don't see in the Gemara. Rashi, however, quotes the Reisha of this source, and the appropriate Rashi is found in the inside column, where you'll notice a little triangle that we wrote into the Rashi text to help you find, to locate this. You'll see there it's a section that is in brackets because it's simply printed out of place, and it belongs in the Rashi column, in the outside column on the lower part, where there's a corresponding triangle. That's all technical for right now. However, in the section that's marked off in the brackets, the Rashi there says Vadaini Omer Reish Lemasisin Hochi Isa B'Toras Kohanim. The first part of the Tanaic source that we're about to read in the Gemara, it says as follows, and we're looking in the Rashi Ba'asoysa, which is a pasuk concerning the Korban Chatos. Yochol Yochid Sha'osa Chayav Shnayim Sha'osu Pturin. Since the pasuk features an expression in the singular, could it be that if one person is in violation, so he does bring a Korban Chatos? If two people violate, since it's not a singular, so maybe they're exempt. Maybe the pasuk says that only if an individual is in violation is there an obligation to bring a Korban. Talmud Lomar Me Amoretz Afilu Merubin. The pasuk itself expands to include even a a multitude of people that are in violation, that each one has to bring a personal korban chatos. Va'adayan ani omer miut kol shechatu chayovin, but it could be that only if it's a minority of the public that are sinning, do they bring a private korban chatos she'ein based in mevi'in par al yedehem, because in the case of a court ruling and a minority, when we say court ruling, we're referring to an erroneous court ruling and a minority of people following it. We know that even if there's a court ruling, but since it's a minority of people that followed it, they are obligated to bring a korban chatos, a personal korban chatos. Now, we turn back to the Gemara text itself, and we read, Adayani Omer, miut kohol shechatu chayovin, that if you have a minority of the public that violated, so they are chayov, because shein beis mevin ayin par, because there's no precedent for exemption of a minority of the public in the case of a court ruling that preceded their action. So let's say this again. Who brings a korban chatos? Well, a private person who violates, two people who violate, up till a point, if you're dealing with the minority of the public that act on their own, they bring a korban chatos. And we say even a large number of people, but as long as they are a minority of the public, they will have to bring each one will have to bring a personal korban chatos, because there's no precedent for their exemption. Even in a case where there is an erroneous court ruling that preceded their behavior, they will still be obligated. They're not under the patur of a par helam dover shel tzibor. Roiv kol shechotu, you pturin. Sharei based in mevi'in al yedein par. It could be that, and this is a supposition or a suggestion that will be rejected immediately, but it could be, this suggestion states that even a majority of the public that sin and eat chelev would be exempt, because they're exempt from personal korban chatos, because there's a precedent for a majority being exempt, and that's in the case that their behavior was preceded by an erroneous court ruling, and that's what we've dashed underline here. Sharei beis din mevi'in al yedein par. Talmud Lomar me'am ha'aretz. The pasuk uses that expression to tell me afilu rubo ve'afilu kula. Who brings a korban chatos? Even if it's the majority of the public, and even if it's the entire public that erroneously ate chalev. Of course, we're talking about a case where where their behavior was not preceded by a court ruling. Bimai. The Gemara wants to know, Bimai, what was the nature of the circumstances behind the chait? The pasuk, this source referred to a kohol shechotu. Before we go further, we have a series marker here, a double underline, and that's featured by, that's explained in our comment in the margin. You see a double underline, and it's explained as shlovim, stages, bahavonas hamokar l'shitas harabonan. Stages in trying to understand the source that's brought to serve as a source for the shitas harabonan. So we go through these following stages. E lema b'shigigas maisa shaloi v'hiruas based in. The text that we're reading is following the Bach's version that's found on Daf Yud Dalet in the Bach commentary. So if you think that this source is talking about a case of a shigigas maisa without a court ruling, based in my aviditaihu, based in mi maisu shaloi bohoira. In this source, we saw an expression, shari based in mevi'in al yedein par. Now, if you're going to suggest that this source was talking about a shigigas maisa, meaning an erroneous action, erroneous behavior, without any court ruling, so
if there was no court ruling, so what is meant by the expression Share Bezdin Mevi'in Mayadein Par? Elo Bohoira. Rather, this source is talking about sins that followed a court ruling. The Gemara asks, well, if that be the case, V'ha Kiksiv Me'am Ha'aretz, but the Pasuk itself, when it says, when this Pasuk appears, the Pasuk that says Me'am Ha'aretz, which is what the Pasuk, what this source is basing itself on, is B'shigigas Ma'isehu Dichtiv. The Pasuk itself does not appear in the context of a court ruling. It appears in the context of a wrongful, inadvertent action without a Ha'aretz. Elo lav hochikoma. Rather, let us try to re-understand this source. And that's accomplished in the following framed section. Before we go further, we should have noted that when the Gemara had originally, in the diamonded My Rabbonan part of the Gemara, a few lines up, we had started a long answer. That's indicated by the tuff that you see that's encircled to the immediate right hand of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. In order to complete this idea of understanding the source based on which the Rabbanan's opinion will be illustrated, one has to go through all of these lines of Gemara till the second to last line of the page. So continuing in the Gemara, we are now restructuring or re-understanding the source that was cited just above. Hochi ko'omar. Miut kohol shechotu b'shigigas maise chayovin. If a minority of the public ate chelev inadvertently on their own, they bring a korban chatos, they bring personal korbanos, she'ein beizdin mevi'im al yedein par b'hoiro. The reason that it seems obvious to the Brisa that the miut call is chayav, a personal korban, because there's no precedent for their being exempted, namely even in the case that their action was preceded by an erroneous court ruling, they still would have had to bring a personal chatas. Yochol roiv tzibur she'asu b'shigas ma'isi upturin. It could be, though, that if you have the majority of the public that sinned inadvertently, maybe they would be exempt from bringing a personal korban chatas, because there is precedent. There's a precedent for their exemption in the case that their action was preceded by a court ruling. Talmud Lomar Me'am Ha'aretz Afilu Rubo. The pasuk reveals to us that if you're dealing with sinful behavior, inadvertent sinful behavior that's not preceded by a court ruling, so even though they constitute the majority of the public, they will all have to bring their personal korban chatos. The Rashi explains Talmud Lomar Me'am Ha'aretz Da'afilu Rubo Chayovin B'Shigas Ma'isa Greitza, that even if it's the majority, if it's an inadvertent wrongful action, they have to bring a personal korban chatos. The Ma'isu Kochad V'Chad Kisva O Si'ira, each one brings his sheep or goat. Dehai Dichtiv Me'am Ha'aretz equals B'Shigas Ma'isu Dichtiv. The context of the pasuk is in the case of shigigas maisa, namely action without court ruling. Almo shaminon mehomas nisan. We see from this source what we were looking for originally. Yochid shalsa b'iraz based in chayav, that a private person that acts with even though the court ruled accordingly, nevertheless he does not enjoy the exemption of a korban chatos. Omar Rav Papa, Mimai. Rav Papa questions our conclusion and the way we read the source. Dilma, it could be that a Yochid who sinned based on a court ruling, lo hain velo based in, that there is no korban brought whatsoever.
The way that the Gemara understood the source was that, well, if a private person sinned on the heels of a court ruling, they are obligated. Rav Papa calls that into question. Maybe in that case, not he nor the court brings a korban. So the Gemara responds, "I hachi, if that be the case, that a yachid b'hayra'a would be exempt, my irya de kamahader aruba l'chiyuva. Why is it that this source sets out as its goal or as its mission to prove that rov kohol, that majority of the public that sin b'shigas maisa alone, each one is chayav achatos? In other words, this source felt that that's the only thing that needs to be clarified. The issue of rov kohol shechotim shigas maisa. Lav michlal, does this not imply the mute b'hoira kaimole de machayvu b'hoira? That it's obvious or it's known to the author of the source that a minority in the case of court ruling or individual in the case of court ruling is obviously obligated. Once again, following the reading of the Bach, we add here, the im kain, because if it were not so, namely, if it were so that a yochid b'hoira is potter, that a private person with a court ruling was actually exempt, then Nehader Beresha al Miuto de Mechayev Beshigigas Maisa, then the source should have set out as its goal to determine that a private person who acts wrongfully without a court ruling is obligated, because that point wouldn't be clear if not for the fact that Yochid Bahoiro is Chayev. Once again, if it were so that Yochid Bahira is potter, I wouldn't have any precedent to say that a Yochid Beshigigas Maisa should be Chayev. I would have to establish that point first. Ulebasof Nehader Aruba Lechiyuva Beshigigas Maisa, and only then determine the halacha regarding the majority who act Beshigigas Maisa. And yet, the source did not preoccupy itself with the issue of a yochid b'shigigas maisa. Elolav mi demahader al ruba l'chiyuva b'shigas maisa. From the fact that this source was interested only in finding out the din, the halacha regarding the majority in the case of shigigas maisa, shma mino miut. It's then one can conclude, therefore, when it comes to the minority or the individual, b'hoira chayovin, hein kisvo siro v'shelo b'hoira b'shigigas maisa chayovin. That the mute, if they sinned following a court ruling, doesn't matter. They're chayav to bring their personal kisvo or siro, and without a court ruling, b'shigas maisa alone, they, the mute or the individual, are obligated. And this is in fact what the Chachomim had said, and the way we had presented the Chachomim originally, that a yochid shosaboy ra is based in, that a private person who acts based on the court ruling is chayav a personal korban. The Gemara now turns to the two brises that we introduced above with diamonds and asks, michti, travayu stami tnan. The two brises above were presented without names. Who is to say that source number one is in fact Rebbe Yehuda? Rebbe Yehuda's name didn't appear in it. And source number two is according to the Rabbonan. Maybe source one is the Rabbonan, and source number two is according to Rebbe Yehuda. And then when the question was raised, or the observation was raised, that our Mishnah that says that a Yochid Shosu B'Yiras Beis Din is Potter, well, according to this suggestion, that would conform to the Shitas HaRabbanan, and it wouldn't be the opinion of a Das Yochid. The Gemara answers, I know that Source 1 is Rebbe Yehuda, because the style of Source 1 is similar to the style of Rebbe Yehuda. Man shamis le the dorash miuti ki hai gavna. Who is it known? Who is known as expounding on psukim and deriving limitations in this fashion? Rabbi Yehuda he. This is characteristic of Rabbi Yehuda's style of learning psukim. Desanya, as is seen in a different context. Here we have Rabbi Yehuda's name appearing straight out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Zois Teras Ho'ilo Hi. You have a series of words, one after the other, and yet in this brief citation, Harei Enu Shlosha Miutin, we see here in this pasuk three limitations. Once again, what the nature of the limitations and the details behind the source, Rashi reveals those items. But for our purposes, we should see a stylistic similarity between the drosha here of Zois Teras Ho'ilo and the pasuk that was seen in the middle of Beis Hamidrash of Im Nefesh Achas Techto B'Shgoga Basosa, the same style of seeing here multiple limitations. The Iboy Esema, another approach in establishing that source 1 is Rabbi Yehuda and source 2 is the Rabbanan and not Rabbi Yehuda, Adayan Ani Omer, that source that began with the words Adayan Ani Omer, and for your convenience, we've provided a little arrow with a daf with Beis Amud Beis indicated underneath it to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you look back on Beis Amud Beis, you'll notice a parallel arrow with a Gimel Amud Aleph citation showing you where this comes from. That source, Lo Motzis Mukmis Lo Krebuta, we could not possibly establish Brisa number 2 from before, like Krebuta, the Kotani, because in that source it says, Roiv Kohol Shechotu Beisdin Mevi'im Al Yedein Par. In that source there was an indication that the court, in the event that the majority of the public sinned, the court would be responsible for bringing the special korban, the par, the cow offering. Rabbi Yehuda, if that source were authored by Rabbi Yehuda, Homar Sibur Hu Demaisi, he feels that his opinion is that it's a payment. The payment for the par is from the public coffers and not from the funds of the Beis Din. Let's read that again. Ho'amar tzibur hu demaisi, based in lo, and not the court. Disnan, this is a Mishnah later on in the Maseches. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shiva shvatim shechatu mevi'in Shiva porim. Rabbi Yehuda says that if seven tribes sinned, they bring seven cows, indicating that the necessity or the source of collections of collection for this korban is from the public and not from the court. And the source on Beis Amud Beis, source number 2, indicated that the payment for this par is from the court funds, indicating it's not Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.